It was a quiet Sunday evening in the Highlands of Scotland, and the people in the village had gathered together in the glen to worship their Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And as they listened, they could hear the pipes.
What an absolutely beautiful way to start our worship this morning. I remember a number of years ago after a presbytery service, there was a number of us ministers who went out to get a pint or two and have yet another meeting after the presbytery meeting. And there, one of our number, a fellow by the name of John Henderson, met some of his friends who were in a barbershop quartet. And right there in the restaurant, they began to harmonize, similar to what we heard before. And what they were looking for is when you have those four different voices, they're waiting for that moment in which the fifth voice comes. It's that sense in which the four voices create a fifth voice, a voice that is made up of the four, but it is somehow powerful and mysterious. It's the presence of a fifth voice. I think perhaps some of you heard that this morning, especially in Amazing Grace, where we could imagine, where we could hear the bagpipes, even though they weren't here this morning. Today we celebrate that the fifth voice among us is the power of God's Holy Spirit. When we gather together, we don't just gather together as human beings. We don't just gather together as people who love each other. When we gather together and when we celebrate that love, there is another presence that is here. Jesus called it the Advocate, the presence of God with us here and now. And today in this worship service, we celebrate that presence, that mysterious, that powerful, that ever-present reality of God with us. Let us worship God with us. Let us join together as we sing our song of praise. Open our eyes. Please be seated. This is a time in our service when we celebrate some of the joys and also recognize some of the pains and sorrows within this community of faith and also in our larger community. And today we have a couple of celebrations that I'd like to draw to your attention. There were at least two birthdays in this past week, and one of them was Sylvia, actually, who is celebrating an anniversary of her 39th birthday. And then there was another birthday as well. Whose was the other birthday this past week? I know it was Sylvia and somebody else. I can't remember who it was. But let's sing Happy Birthday to Sylvia. And again, we do a different rendition of Happy, same tune. Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday to you. May God's richest blessings be always with you. Okay, so let's sing Happy Birthday to Sylvia. And the other celebration this morning, Audrey Woodcock came to me this morning and said, Marty, did you know that it is 2 years today that I first came to this congregation? 2 years today. So we celebrate that. And we also celebrate, along with Audrey, all of those who have been here for the first time, all of our beautiful and wonderful guests, all of your family and friends who are here, anybody else who is here. It is always good to have people from different places share with us your gifts and your abilities, because together, not just in this place, but together around the world, we are the body of Christ. We are those who love and care. As Christians, our task and our responsibility is to reach out in love, care, compassion. We are to be known by our love, and that is what we celebrate today. A concern and a challenge that I would, and we're going to talk a little bit about this a little bit later on, but within my wife's congregation, there is a family that are from Ghana, and they're going through some difficult times in terms of immigration. And it's extremely frustrating to me. People from other parts of the world who try to come here into Canada face untold difficulties. And even though Canada has a reputation of being a welcoming country. We are very proud when we welcome, say, 75,000 refugees in a year. When other countries around the world perhaps offer refugee status to 2 million people a year. As Canadians, we have a long ways to go. Jesus himself, a refugee, Jesus himself called on us to meet the needs and to reach out to those who were the strangers, the aliens, the refugees among us. And so today I ask you to think and to reflect and to pray and to support those who are trying to come into Canada and to encourage our government officials to open our borders, to open, and for Canadians to open their hearts and their minds to the refugees, the immigrants, those who are coming from different places, because we have a strong mosaic here in Canada in which people can live together in harmony. The United Nations says the world needs more Canada. Canada needs more Canada as well. Canada needs more people from around the world to add to the rich tapestry that is our life together. So those are our thoughts and our prayers. Let us turn to God in a moment of celebration and concern. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this particular day, this Sunday in which we gather together and recognize the power of your Spirit among us, and in which we lean on each other and lean into your presence for comfort, for support, for strength, for guidance. Forgive us for those times that we think we don't need you and those times that we think that we don't need each other. Call us back again into the presence of your care and compassion so that, gracious God, transformed by that love, we may be agents of love into the world. These things we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray as we sing together. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. On these two laws hang all of the commandments. On these two laws we find the freedom to truly be human beings. In loving God and loving each other is the freedom to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves for the struggles and challenges that we sometimes cause others and the pain that we cause ourselves, to be freed to truly be human one to the other. Celebrate, know, experience, and live out that freedom in all that you do. Thanks be to God. Amen. By the way, that rendition of our Lord's Prayer sung was so beautiful, and what it wants me to say is, you know, you're welcome not only to come once or twice, But you are most welcome to come every Sunday. I know that a number of you have your own congregations that you go to and different places of worship. And so greetings to you from this congregation to your respective congregations as well. And may the love of God bless each of you and the congregations and places of worship that you serve each and every day. Thank you. Let us now continue. And now we're listening to another ministry of music, this from our own choir, the song, Lord, I Come to Your Table. Once again, let us join together in song, Jesus, Jesus in the Morning, a beautiful song that helps us to recognize, as Vicky was saying, to call on God early in the morning, and then we experience God's presence all day long. And as we're singing this song, could the children come forward for a children's story? Jesus, Jesus in the Morning.
Thank you.
morning, everybody. How are you doing? Good to see you. I have something new on today. Does anybody know what this is called? A scarf? A collar? You don't know what it's called, but you've seen a lot of priests wear it. Yes, yes. It's actually called a stole. And that doesn't mean that I stole it, okay? It's a different word. It's called a stole. It's actually called a preaching stole. So people who preach in different churches often wear different stoles, symbolizing the different times of the years. But there's also lots of imagery on here. So I want to share with you some of the imagery. What's this here? What do you think the butterfly talks to us about? Happiness. What else? Signifies that spring is here. It also is a symbol of resurrection and a symbol of creation, the beauty of creation. How about this here? What's this here? The sunshine. What is the sunshine a symbol of? The light of God's love. That when God's love is evident in our lives, there is light, there is joy, there is peace. How about this here? What's the rainbow about? Does anybody know? It's happiness, yes. What else? There's an Old Testament story about a rainbow. Does anybody know what the Old Testament story is? Noah and the flood. And after the flood, there was a rainbow, a covenant of rainbow in the sky, where God said, never again will my anger be stronger than my love. And so it's a beautiful symbol that God's love is stronger than anything else in the whole world. It's also a symbol of inclusion of the LGBT community, so that everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of their gender identity, we're all God's people included in God's love. And this here, what are these three here? Crosses. Why are there three crosses? And who were the two other guys? They were criminals. Yes, nowadays we might call them thugs. Jesus was crucified between two thugs, but it's also a symbol that God's love includes, again, everyone. Not just people who think that they're good, and not just people who think that they're doing all the right things, but everyone is included in God's love. And then at the bottom here, what are these symbols here? Does anybody know what they are? What do you think this is here? It's a cave, yes? Jesus' tomb, it's the resurrection. So this stole is filled with all kinds of symbols, and it's worn by people who tell the good news. So do you think preachers should be the only one who wear these stoles?
No.
Who else tells good news? Mummy? Who else tells good news? Sorry? Prophets? Who else? Do you guys ever tell good news? Do you ever tell the good news of God's love? What I'd like to do, and any of you who have a phone or a camera, please, we're going to put the stole around all of the children. And if you could take some pictures, that would be great. So please stand up in a group together. Who is
telling good news of God's love. Each of you are creatures of love that is God. Thanks be to God. Come on. You guys can head off, and I know you're going to come back for the communion service later.
Our scripture reading this morning is a beautiful, beautiful telling of the Pentecost story by John in John's Gospel. It's called sometimes the Little Pentecost, where Jesus said, "It's good that I'm going away because I am sending, the Father is sending an advocate, someone who will be with you, an advocate who is present with you." Like that mysterious, beautiful fifth note that is there when we sing together, like that sense of presence when we love each other and are in communion with each other, and there seems to be something bigger. The advocate is with us. And so we're going to read this from John chapter 16, verses 4 through 15. Thank you, Vicki.
Our scripture reading, as Marty said, is John 16, verses 4 to 15. "I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to be with him who sent me. None of you asks, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." This is God's message of hope.
When our children were small, and also it was something that we continued when they were growing up in our house as well, when we were having a tough day as a family, either I or Barb, mostly myself, because Barb didn't want to do it, she thought that I was better at it, we would start to laugh. Just out of the blue, we would start to laugh. And our children would look at us as if we were strange. "Oh no, Dad, not again." And I would continue just to laugh. And there's something powerful about laughing, is when someone laughs, what happens? Other people have to laugh as well. It's something that is infectious. It's something that just happens. And so I would start to laugh. Barb would start to laugh. Stacy, our youngest, would start to laugh, and then finally Krista, our oldest, would start to laugh. And then in the midst of that laughter, something else happened. It was almost as if there was a shift. It's almost as if, as a family, we were no longer focused just on ourselves. It was almost as if there was something or someone else with us. The power of love, the power of joy, the power of peace, the power of God, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. That sense of presence of God that we sense and feel when we gather together, that is absolutely incredible. I don't know if you have ever experienced this. I hope that you have. Sometimes I've actually experienced it out in nature. I remember one time I was feeling very, very frustrated. Frustrated with who I was as a preacher, as a teacher. Frustrated with the congregation that I served because I didn't think that they were doing what they should be doing. And I thought that we were just floundering. And I remember being on a seashore, actually on the oceans, where the wind was a howling and the waves were a pounding. And literally in the middle of the night, I got up and I howled into the wind. And I yelled and I screamed. And then the wind responded, because I sensed something larger. And in that moment, it was almost an experience of God saying to me, Marty, you think that you're responsible to do all of this? No, there is a presence. There is the Spirit that is much bigger, much larger than you. And there was in that moment a letting go, a recognition that it wasn't all about me and my frustrations and my difficulties. It was about God and the Spirit, the advocate that Jesus talks about, and the power of the Spirit to work in the world. You know, as Christians, we sometimes struggle with the presence of God. But I want to share with you a couple of experiences in the last week in which the Spirit of God, a Pentecostal moment in which the Spirit of God was very, very real and present. Two of those were here in this congregation. On Thursday afternoon, we had what's called the Enjoy Group. And I apologize to the person who referred to it as the Ensure Group, suggesting that it was quite a boost for all of us to be there. So I apologize for saying that. But that was part of the moment in which we were able to laugh with each other, in which we were able to really sense that all of the struggles and all the joys that we experienced together meant that we were not alone. It was a moment in which we sensed the power of something larger. That was on Thursday afternoon. On Sunday or Saturday morning yesterday, we had the caregivers, the care group, meeting together in this place. And we shared some of those stories as well. And we shared some of the difficulties and challenges of the people in the congregation that we're trying to reach out to and support and encourage. And in that moment, too, there was a sense of coming together as God's people, recognizing that in spite of all of our own difficulties and weaknesses and limitations, yet God was present. God was there. God is bigger than any one of us. And then yesterday afternoon, we were at Knox Church Waterloo, and there were five of us from this congregation who were at an Affirm service in which we were beginning to understand what it means not only to be a welcoming community to the LGBTQI community, but also to be an affirming congregation. And that's one of the things that we're looking at here. And in that same way, listening to the pains and struggles, the joys and celebrations of people, when we gathered together, it was as if there was more than just those of us gathered in that place. A sense of the mysteriousness of God. I was in Washington, D.C. A week ago, and a week and a half ago, and on the Thursday evening, the 24th, there were somewhere between 25 and 3,500 of us who were invited to go on a march from one of the churches in downtown Washington to the steps of the White House. But the instructions were very, very simple. We were to march in silence. I don't know if you have ever been a part of any kind of marches or protest marches. This is the first march that actually was in silence. And if you can imagine 25 to 3,500 people all holding on to a candle, all holding on to a candle, walking 10 blocks in absolute silence. It was a Pentecostal moment. And I'm sure in 200 years, people will be recording that story and saying these people, 25 to 3,500 of them, were absolutely quiet as they marched towards the White House. And it was as if there were tongues of fire on their foreheads, for all of us were holding high candles of light, candles of light in the darkness. This was a march. It was a process of reclaiming Jesus. And there are 12 or 14 different elders within the church who created a confession of state of faith. And I want to share with you just a little bit about what this march was about. It was not a march against Washington. It was not a march against the administration. It was a march about reclaiming Jesus, reclaiming the gospel. And in that march, there was this beautiful experience, a Pentecostal moment of the Advocate, the Spirit of God with us. These were the statements of confession for that march. Number one, we believe each human being is made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we reject the resurgence of white nationalism and racism in our nation on many fronts, including the highest level of political leadership. Racial bigotry must be antithetical for those belonging to the body of Christ, because it denies the truth of the gospel we profess. Number two, we believe we are one body. In Christ, there is to be no oppression based on race, gender, identity, or class. Therefore, we reject misogyny, the mistreatment, violent abuse, sexual harassment, and the assault of women that has been further revealed in our culture and in our politics, including our churches, and the oppression of any other child of God. We confess sexism as a sin, requiring our repentance and our resistance. Number three, we believe how we treat the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the prisoner is how we treat Christ himself. It is, if our gospel is not good news to the poor, it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we reject the language and policies of political leaders who would debase and abandon the most vulnerable children of God. We strongly deplore the growing attacks on immigrants and refugees who are being made into cultural and political targets. And we need to remind our churches that God makes the treatment of strangers among us the test of our faith. Protecting the poor is a central commitment of Christian discipleship to which 2,000 verses in the Bible attest. Number four, we believe that truth is morally central to our personal and public lives. Truth-telling is central to the prophetic biblical tradition, whose vocation includes speaking the word of God into their societies and speaking the truth to power. Therefore, we reject the practice and pattern of lying that is invading our political and civil life. Number five, we believe that Christ's way of leadership is servanthood, not domination. We support democracy not because we believe in human perfection, but because we do not. Therefore, we reject any moves towards autocratic political leadership and authoritarian rule. And six, We believe Jesus when he tells us to go into all the world to spread the gospel of God's love. Our churches and our nations are part of an international community whose interests always surpass national boundaries. The most well-known verse in the New Testament starts with, "For God so loved the world." We in turn are called to love and serve the world and all of its inhabitants. Therefore, we reject America First as a theological heresy for followers of Christ. I was one of a few Canadians who were present at this. Barb and I, when we found out about this, felt a need to support our brothers and sisters in America. And many of these things, they need the world and the church around the world to help them and to support them. But we also recognize that when we were there and when we were teaching and sharing these ideas, these confessions of faith, they are applicable to our own situation as well. They are applicable here in Canada as much as they are in the United States. And there was this moment in which we recognized that we were not Americans and Canadians and Australians and people from Britain, but that we were simply followers of Jesus, human beings. And in that moment, there was that transcendence in which we recognized the power of God's presence with us. When we walked to the White House, for 10 blocks in silence, there was a rope that was set up on the opposite side of the street to where the White House was. Because the police, there had been a permit, and the police didn't know what to expect. But I don't think the police had ever had about 25 to 3,500 people come towards them in absolute silence. And once we arrived, staying in silence, within 30 seconds, the police dropped the barriers, and we were able to go to the other side of the street. And that was where we began to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And the elders read these statements, and then we sang the Lord's Prayer. It was a moment of absolute spiritual power. Barb and I were beside this young black woman who was singing, and you know how I sing. When I got to the word debts, I just shut up because the music that was coming from my right side was so powerful, was so uplifting. And after we had finished singing, both Barb and I at the same time turned to her and said, "Thank you. Thank you for her beauty in terms of the voice that lifted us all up." It was a moment of Pentecost, a moment in which the Spirit was present. And it is my prayer. It is my prayer and heartfelt wish that each of you may have experiences like that, where you recognize that you are not alone, but that as we lean on each other and together as we lean into God, there is something mysterious that happens, and God invades our presence with love and with peace and with hope and with joy. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen. Let us now respond to the word of God in the giving of our offerings. Here in this church, we are working hard to be a light in this community, particularly with respect to seniors in this community. And so your support of us helps us to reach out with love and compassion to seniors within this neighborhood. Please offer your gifts. gifts of bread and of wine. Take these gifts of our offerings of love and compassion and use them, gracious God, in the building of your kingdom, in the sharing of your love, in the celebration of your grace. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I invite the elders to come forward. Just a word of explanation with respect to this communion service. Please be seated. The communion service is printed in your bulletin. We will just simply follow through. The song that we will be singing, Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying, is interspersed in the liturgy. And so we will sing verse by verse as we follow the liturgy. So we'll begin on the first page with the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites you to this table, all of you. You are invited to love Christ, to love each other, and to recognize that you are part of God's beautiful and broken community. Come. People of God, let us confess our wrongdoings, the pain we have caused others, ourselves, and the creation at large, pain that resides in the heart of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Let us respond in song, first verse, Lord, listen to your children praying.
Lord, listen to your children.
Peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Invite you to turn to each other with a handshake or a hug to share the peace of Christ. And as we are doing so, could we sing again, Lord, listen to your children singing. By your design, God, we are a rich tapestry of colors and hues united in our diversity. We come to the table with the full expression of ourselves, in pain and in sorrow, with doubt and with fear, in hope and in peace, with joy and with love. Forgiving God, you pardon us from sin by thought, word, and deed. Liberator God, you free us from evil and oppression. Provider God, you give us sustenance for the journey ahead. Feed us with the bread of heaven and quench our thirst, O God. God of all nations, where geography is boundless, from ponds to rivers, from seas to oceans, from islands to mainlands, from countries to continents, gather your people so that we might embrace our diversity and celebrate our rich cultures and customs. Across this vast world, We are your people and you are our God. Make us to know the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of your love so that we might be in sweet communion with each other. Lord, listen to your children praising. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us all, he gathered his disciples in the upper room. Having full knowledge of the political environment and his pending fate, he broke the bread. He gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples for them to eat. This is the essence of Jesus' body. Then, afterwards, he took the cup. He gave thanks, gave it to his disciples for them to drink. This is the essence of the cup of Jesus' salvation. Gracious God, pour out your blessing, the blessing of your Holy Spirit on this bread, on this cup, and on all of us. Transform this meal into your abiding presence in our lives, that we, like Jesus, might have a servant's heart full of love. Lord, listen to your children praying. Reverend Tony Campolo, a beautiful preacher, a beautiful man of God, was talking about the power of this moment. And he said that within the Roman Catholic tradition, the bread and the wine actually become the body and the blood of Jesus the Christ. In the Protestant tradition, the body or the bread stays the bread, but becomes for us symbolically the power of Jesus' body broken and the power of Jesus' blood spilled out. And then he said, in the Baptist tradition, the bread stays bread and the wine turns into grape juice. Whatever your understanding of this table, you are most welcome here. Because this isn't our table. This is a table that belongs to God as we experience God as Christians through Jesus the Christ. So please, elders, please stand. This is the bread of heaven to be shared with all.
bite by bite, we become more like Christ.
The cup of salvation to be shared with all. The cup of salvation, sip by sip, we become more like the love and the care that is Jesus the Christ. Let us turn to God in a moment of prayer. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. By the work of your Spirit, may we continually offer ourselves in work and in witness to share your amazing grace that we as Christians experience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in our final hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
We're delighted that the Suburban Airs are going to sing one more song for us, and the song is Hallelujah. Are you going to change? Beautiful, yes, wonderful, wonderful. Absolutely, that is so wonderful. You know, a number of people have asked me, Marty, the march in Washington, I didn't see it on the news. What happened? It's not been on the news, and it didn't make the news very much. CNN picked it up for a little bit, that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what was more powerful, what was much more powerful. Barb and I were one of 25 to 3,500 leaders within the church. And Barb and I realized beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were not alone, that we were standing together. And you can imagine now 25 to 3,500 preachers and teachers on this Sunday greeting their own congregations across the country and literally across the world, knowing that they are not alone. And that's our message to you today, too. Your little light is never alone. We are together, and God is with us always. May the grace of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the light of God be with you and dwell among you this day and forevermore. Amen.
As Presbyterians, we love food and fellowship, and there's lots of it in the next room. Please all come over.